Hallelujah. Alrighty, who's excited about getting into the Word this morning? Who brought their Bibles to church? Who brought their Bibles to church? Hands up. Who's got their phone? If you've got your phone, you've got your Bible. Amen. I'm happy for you to get your phone out. I put some of the scriptures up on the screen, but I am going to read a few passages, and it's really good to just read along with me when we go through those longer passages. So hallelujah. So we're going to get sort of into a bit of a topic this morning, church, and I've got sort of two key scriptures that we're going to go with, and then we're going to kind of unpack a few things, and I really get into the heart of the message and what I feel like the Lord is saying this morning. So the first scripture that we've got up is 2 Peter 1, verse 3. And if we can just all read that out together. So it starts out by saying, "As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Now, does it say, as his divine power has given us some things? It says, his divine power has given us all things. Amen. I remember getting hold of this scripture a couple years back, and, you know, I just had some stuff going on in my life, and I was like, God, it says there in your word that you've given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Amen? And that's what we call grace. That's what was made available at the cross. And you know, we're a church that preaches the full gospel. We're a church that goes after the same ministry that Jesus had, setting the captives free, recovery of sight to the blind, healing of the brokenhearted, prison walls open to those who are bound. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And it's teaching like that that brings something into your life that you can grab hold of and get a testimony. Amen. Everyone say testimony. If you look at the people who encountered Jesus in the Gospels, it's like whenever they encountered him and had some time with him, they walked away with a testimony of something that he did in their lives. Amen? And so we've got to preach the full counsel. We've got to preach that the power of God is available to set people free. And so where did it come from? Where did it come through? Beg your pardon. It came through the cross, right? Resurrection Sunday is like, someone said, it's like our grand final. He rose again. Amen. But I like to think of it as the kingdom of God is fully stacked and fully stocked with the promises of God. Beck, you touched a little bit on this, all the promises that we have available, fully stocked with everything we need, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and when I was a kid, I don't know if you guys had this when you were younger, but it was like the day before shopping day, the day before my mum did the grocery shopping, there was just nothing in the house, and you would open up the fridge and you're like, oh my gosh, there's like a little banana that's rotten and there's maybe some old rice crackers, and it's like, there's nothing much there. But then the day after, when you open the fridge and you see, yes, mum's gone shopping, the fridge is fully stocked. Amen. And I know that's like a funny illustration of what the grace of God brings, but the kingdom of God is fully stocked with all things that pertain to life and godliness. Amen. There's grace for our every need. There's grace for our purpose. There's grace for provision, for healing. Amen. So grace isn't just an allowance to sin. Grace is actually the provision to be set free from it. Amen? The grace of God. But I'm not going to stop there, because the thing is, we've got to know how to access it. We've got to know how to access that fully stocked fridge. And that's where we start to talk about the next key verse this morning, which is Hebrews 11, 1 to 2. Can we just all read that out together? It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." And so if by faith we obtain a good testimony, what do we think is the one area that the enemy will try and attack? Our faith, right? Our testimony. He can't come against the finished works of Christ. That's already done and dusted when Jesus hung on the cross. It is finished. There's nothing that can change that. But the one thing that the enemy will try and come against is our faith to access what's been given, that fully stocked fridge. You're going to laugh at my food analogies. Who knows, in Luke 22, what Jesus prayed for Peter. You know, Peter said, I'll go with you, I'll do anything, Jesus. You know, I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. But then what's the next thing he said? He said, I've prayed that your faith won't fail you. Amen. So because it's our faith that accesses all the promises of God, we really need to make sure we have a clear and biblical understanding about what faith is. And so that's really where I'm going this morning. We're just going to have a look at faith. And please don't tune out if you think, I know what faith is. You know, I've heard this before. I believe God wants to release a rest over us because faith is actually a rest. Faith isn't striving. Faith doesn't originate from anything that we can do. Amen. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, if that's okay, church. Yeah? Okay, let's just pray. Thank you, Lord God. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father God, we just thank you that it says in your word that it's the truth that'll set us free. So, Father, this morning, I just see truth going out into people's hearts, into people's situations, Father, and bringing freedom. Lord God, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for utterance this morning, Lord God. I just acknowledge that without you, Father, I can do nothing. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you think through my thoughts and speak through my mouth this morning. And we just praise you. And the church said, amen. Okay. Who's taking notes? Good. I don't know why I just asked that, but that's a good thing. Amen. So my first point, that's why I asked this, my first point is faith is not man's working. Faith is not self-effort. You know, when I would see verses like this in the past, just straight away my heart would sink because I would think, well, that's great if you need faith to access the kingdom of God and the promises of God, but I don't really have a lot. I don't really have a lot of faith. Who's had that thought before? You know, there's the faith giants. You've got Billy Graham. You've got Pastor Margaret. You've got Pastor Pete. All these really awesome heroes of faith. They can probably access, you know, the full promises of God, but I don't know if I've got a lot of faith. And see, the enemy would want us to think that a faith-filled lifestyle is unattainable. Yeah, most people don't doubt that faith works. They just doubt that they have enough faith to get the job done. And if the enemy can bind us to that idea, we'll end up giving up and drawing back because we don't think we've got what it takes. Amen? So I'm just going to really spearhead that and dispel some myths about faith. So, you know, faith is not man's working. Faith is actually spiritual. Let's just look at this next scripture. If we can just read this together. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So any faith, anything spiritual that's good that we've got going on, it doesn't come because of our, you know, self-effort. It comes down from heaven. You know, John 3:27 says a man can receive nothing unless it's been given from heaven. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, again, it comes from him. You know, I get a picture of, like, you know, just say, before a boxing match, not that I really watch that stuff, but it's like sometimes you see them, you know, really pumping themselves up and come on, and, like, you know, Red Bull and, like, some kind of mental, like, rev up. Sometimes we get a picture of that's what faith is like, but it's actually not. Amen. It says there, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And if we go to Genesis chapter 1, it's such an amazing chapter to read because it talks about how the world was created and we can really see where the Lord's faith was. So it says, then God said, let there be light. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered into one. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And on and on and on it goes. Then God said, can I just ask you a question? Where was God's faith in that chapter? It was in his word. He wasn't standing there going, then God said, I wonder if that's going to happen. Because he said it, it will happen. Amen? I mean, I know it's a really simple truth, but the word of God tells us that he watches over his word to perform it. Amen? We've got the same word of God today that we can access. We can access supernatural substance called faith by his word. You know, a while back, we had a little health issue come up in our family. And it was like, you know, when I first heard about it, straight away I thought, oh, like your reaction isn't good. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, starting to panic a little bit and all right. And, you know, it probably took me, I don't know, an hour or two and I just sort of sat with God. And the Holy Spirit brought this scripture up out of my heart. It was something that had been planted, you know, in my heart, I don't know how many years ago, but the scripture that he brought up out of my heart was, this sickness is not unto death, but that God be glorified. And so that for me in that moment was a rhema word. Who knows what we talk about when we're talking about the rhema word? I'm going to explain that a little bit more. But it was like as soon as that word of God came, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It was like the anxiety and the worry and all that was taken away because I now all of a sudden had the rhema word. I had the God-breathed word. God, okay, that's what you're saying about this situation. I'm just going to go with that. Nothing else matters. Amen. And so it's possible to kind of get in the flesh a little bit when it comes to faith. You know, I spoke about the Red Bull and the come on, let's have faith and we can do it. That's not, that would be man's working. And so you know how I love my tables here, but I've just put this up just to give us kind of a clear understanding. But if you go to the left side of the column, okay, this would be, say, me in the flesh trying to have faith. I just need to have faith. I just need to believe. Who's had that kind of go around in their head and heart? Or, you know, me trying really hard to believe. Or I'm just trying to stay in faith. I'm just trying to stand strong. Amen. But as soon as we get the rhema word of God, that God-breathed word, it brings you into a whole nother situation. You actually then have the faith of God, just like Genesis chapter 1, God's faith was in his word. You actually have the faith of God going on in your heart and in your life. Having God's faith operating from within us. Resting and agreeing with the word. Who's found themselves in the left column? You know, that real striving and trying and it's like, man, there's no rest in that. When the Bible talks about the faith of God, it's not over here in your efforts. It's getting a hold of that rhema word of God that brings life, that expels anxiety. And so I just want to turn to Romans chapter 4, if you can. Romans chapter 4. We're just going to have a look at something over here. Romans chapter 4. And it's an amazing passage, Romans chapter 4, verse 16. And we're just going to have a look at something here, something that if we do this, it will throw us over into the left side of the column, into that real works, into the exhaustion, you know, into me trying really hard. And it's Romans 4:16, and it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace. So there we're talking about that combination again. Grace, fully stocked, kingdom of God, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And it's faith that steps in and accesses it. Amen. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham. And we're just going to skip down to verse 18 for time's sake. It says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. Amen. So shall your descendants be. And verse 19 is what I really wanted to get to. It says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, I look at this story of Abraham and I think it just would have been so much easier if Abraham and Sarah were like 18 and 28 or whatever, like younger. But it's like they were 90 and 100 and God's saying, you're going to be the father of many nations. And the thing that brought Abraham through this was that he did not consider his own body. And so what the enemy sometimes does, he can flash scenes before us of like negative outcomes and destruction, and that's not going to work out. And then what we can sometimes do is we start considering this. Has anyone else done this before? And you start to sort of consider it and meditate on it. And actually that word consider means to perceive, to remark, to observe, to understand, to behold, to consider attentively, or to fix one's eyes or mind upon. But he's saying, the Bible says, consider not any of the other circumstances, any of the other outcomes. What we do stay fixed on is the promises of God, which are yes and amen, that rhema word. I seen a funny meme online, and it was, you know, wherever you go, you just see people on their phones, right? You know, in the shops, wherever, it's like people are just always on their phones. But in this meme, the lady that was doing the meme, she said, what if we treated our Bibles like we did our phones? And so it's like, you know, you're just standing there waiting for someone and you've just got your Bible out and you just, oh Lord, where's that rhema word? Father, what are you saying about this situation? On the toilet, whoever does that, I don't. Yuck. But your Bible is where the life, God-breathed words get put into our life. Amen. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's so much more than positive thinking. Amen. This is the way the Lord intended us to always walk. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That word there is rhema, the rhema word of God. And, you know, a lack of hearing from God through his word will cause us to just say, if we come to a shop and we're trying to buy something, it'll cause us to stand at the counter and desire something but not be able to obtain it. We've got to be hearing from God through his word. Amen. Let's go to the next point. Faith is hearing a word from God. So this is where I'm going to speak about the rhema word. Romans 10:17. Let's all read this out together. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the rhema word of God. So, you know, when we talk about the word of God, you've got the logos word of God, which is the written word, but the rhema word is that God-breathed word. What is God saying about your situation? You know, just like that testimony that I shared before about, you know, the health situation that we had in our family, I really shouldn't have had peace about that, because in the natural, it actually looked terrible. But it's like, I'm just going to go with the report of what the word of the Lord says. So I really like this version. It's the Young Literals translation. And it says, so then faith is by a report, and by the report through a saying of God. You know, one of my favourite questions to ask people is, what's God saying to you lately? What's God been saying to you lately? I just love hearing that, and you just get, you know, you get a little insight into their relationship with the Lord. It's relational. Getting the rhema word of God, that God-breathed word, it's relational. I think back to when I was in high school and, you know, you had to study for a test and it's like, man, you really just need to cram all that information in and making sure you're memorising it all. This is not how we get the rhema word. The rhema word is, it's relational. It's not sort of going through your Bible plan. And I've done Bible plans, I'm doing one right now. But we've got to make sure that it doesn't become like a duty. Do you know what I'm saying? It's as though like Jesus himself was sitting next to us and we're just having an amazing time in the word. And it's like, oh God, what are you saying right now? That's the way the Lord intended our time in the word to be with him. There's a really interesting passage in Mark chapter 6, and you don't need to turn there because I'm only going to read one verse, but it, you know, so many times in the Word of God, in the Gospels, we see that Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, you guys read that before? It says Jesus was moved with compassion, so he healed the sick. Jesus was moved with compassion, so he fed the multitudes. And there's this real little golden nugget here in Mark chapter 6. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. And then the very next thing, it says, so he began to teach them many things. And so that's him then seeing them get hold of a truth that will change their lives. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And so a faith-filled life is just being close to God, listening to what he's saying. A while back, we were at one of the school assemblies, and it was a couple of years ago, and our kids were up on the stage and doing their performance. And the sound was just completely out and you could not hear a word that was going on. The ones at the front could hear and you could tell they were getting into it, but I'm sitting there going, can you hear anything? I can't hear anything. And so, you know, we were in the atmosphere, we were enjoying what was happening to some extent, but we weren't really hearing. Can you see where I'm going with this? The Lord wants to speak to every single one of us. You know, the story of Mary and Martha. Martha gets a lot of kind of flack put on her. Martha was the one who opened up her house to the Lord. You know, she had Jesus in there, but it was actually Mary who sat at the feet of Jesus listening to what he was saying. Amen? We want to cultivate that. We want to cultivate that hearing the word of God for every single one of our lives. And just for those who start to think, oh, I don't know if I can hear from the Lord, I don't know about this, maybe I'm just not good at hearing from God. The Lord actually put the Holy Spirit on the job. Does the Holy Spirit fail? It's our job to position ourselves and he'll speak. So let's just read this. John 16 starts at 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So just in case anybody started to get into a bit of a works thing there about, oh, I've got to get the rhema word. The Holy Spirit's on the job. Amen. He said, I'll guide you into all truth. Don't try and guide yourself into all truth. Just come and sit with him. Just come and be present with him. Open up your heart and he'll speak. It says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak and he'll tell you things to come. Verse 14, he'll glorify me and he'll take of what is mine. He'll take of what is mine, being Jesus's, and he'll declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he'll take of mine and declare it to you. Wow. This is a ministry that the Holy Spirit will be doing until the day we go home with him. He's going to take of what is Jesus's, all these promises of God that are yes and amen, the fully stocked fridge. He wants to take that and he wants to make it a rhema word in our lives. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's when we can start talking about the word and the spirit coming together. He takes the logos and he makes it a rhema word. Hallelujah. You guys good? I feel like you're kind of quiet this morning. Need to get up and have a little run around and dance break. All right, last point. So another aspect of faith is that faith is agreement. Can everyone just say that? Faith is agreement. Amen. Let's just turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and this will be the last passage. Exodus chapter 3. Actually, no, you guys can turn to Exodus 14. I'm going to go to 3 because I'm just going to read one verse from 3, but we're going to go to 14. And so Exodus 14 is where the Israelites had come out of Egypt, and God took them around the way of the wilderness, and he got them to the edge of the Red Sea. Who's familiar with the story? Most of us, amen. And so there's something really interesting that happens here. And I'm just going to read chapter 3 and verse 10, and it says, this is the Lord speaking to Moses. This is before any of the plagues had happened. This is while the children of Israel were still in bondage, were still in Egypt. This is what the Lord says to Moses. Come now, therefore, and I'll send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I'll read that again. Come now, therefore, and I'll send you to Pharaoh that you, Moses, may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Okay, so this is the word that Moses had from the Lord, right? Skip forward however amount of time. I don't know how long that was. I didn't study it. But you've got now the children of Israel. They're standing at the edge of the Red Sea. You've got Pharaoh's chariots. It says that he gathered his finest chariots. So Pharaoh's like, I'm going to give this everything I've got. The Lord actually says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And so they're standing at the edge of the Red Sea. Verse 10, and it says, When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Talk about a tough gig for Moses, right? One guy, 1 to 2 million people complaining against him, saying, what have you done to us? You're just not thinking in your right mind. You brought us out here to die? And let's read on. Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Verse 12, is it not the word of the Lord that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may just serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. Okay, so I just want to stop here because what we see is that Moses had a choice. What was the word of the Lord that he received in chapter 3? Moses, you're going to bring the people out of the wilderness, out of Egypt, that they may serve me. And so Moses had a big choice. He could have agreed with the children of Israel. You know what, guys, you're right. This situation is crazy. There's a Red Sea there. We got Pharaoh. Let's just go back and hopefully we'll just beg and maybe they might let us go and serve them again. He could have come into agreement with that word. Who knows what I'm saying? But instead, he came into agreement with what the Lord said. Amen? You know, when I was reading this, I thought it took one man to come into agreement with the word of the Lord to free an entire nation. One man just come into agreement with what God was saying. He's not some massive faith giant, some awesome guy that's like, you know, he just, okay, God, you said it, so I'm just going to agree with that. I'm not going to consider, let's go back to Egypt and serve the Egyptians and maybe we're just out here to die. I'm not considering that. Father, I've got your word before me. I don't care how hard it looks. Lord, you said that you're going to set these people free. And so verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more again. For the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Amen. Moments of agreement with God's word become moments of power. I say that again. Moments of agreement with God's word become moments of power. And it really is walking by faith, because more often than not, the situation looks terrible. Abraham, I'm 100 and I'm going to be a father of many nations. It would have been more believable if he was younger, right? But it's just not the way the Lord works. Amen? That's what walking by faith is. And so what did he put pressure on? What did Moses put pressure on? Did he put it on himself? Did he put it on those around him? Did he say, Aaron, you messed up, Aaron. Did he put, it's because of you people, you've messed it up. The pressure was just on the word of God. God, you said it. Amen. I hope you guys are kind of getting a more biblical understanding about what faith is. You know, when the word of the Lord says faith is a rest, it's just, okay, I just come into agreement with what you're saying, God. Amen. If you all just stand, and we'll just get the team back up. I'm just going to read this verse out, and it's 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth," who knows the next part, "to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." The Lord so desires to show himself strong on our behalf. Amen. But I just believe this morning that the real takeaway is that we come into agreement with the word of the Lord. And just as the team starts playing, we're just going to open up our hearts now and just really invite the Holy Spirit to speak. And it's not a condemnation thing. It's a, hey, come into an agreement with me thing. I just believe the Lord wants to show us, you know, areas in our lives where perhaps we've, you know, kind of got like the Egyptians and, oh, it'd just be better if we go back. What did John chapter 16 say? The Holy Spirit is going to take what belongs to Jesus, that victory, the promises. He's going to take what is Jesus's and declare it to us so we can grab hold of it as that rhema word. So let's just open up our hearts this morning. Father, we just thank you that you speak. Lord God, I just thank you that you speak into the hearts of your people this morning, Lord God. And Father, that ministry of the Holy Spirit that calls us into agreement with the word of the Lord. Father, there's rest in that. There's victory in that. Father, we just thank you that we can operate in the same faith that you did, Lord, when you said, because we just agree with your word this morning. Father, we thank you for that word says that we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Father, we just receive that now. We open our hearts and we just let you speak. Thank you, Lord. And this morning, church, you know, if the Holy Spirit's moved you and you want to come up for prayer, and Pastor Jenkin and myself are going to be praying for anyone who just says, hey, you know, I've had this area where I really haven't been in agreement with the Lord, but I just want to get back into agreement with it. You know, the Bible says where two or more agree, it shall be done. Amen. We just thank you, Lord.